Welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church Seeker Sunday School class. Have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day? Good Lord willing, there'll be another Bible Readers Banquet in January, and everyone that reads their Bible through can come free of charge. It's a fun time all the way around. But the real reward is in the Bible, in reading that Bible daily as the Lord speaks to you. Don't forget, Helen Keller said the Bible's the only way out of the dark. Yeah. Brother Melvin said, I got a lot more out of reading my Bible than I did listening to someone else try to explain it. Amen. Over here on this side, remind me, in the book of Matthew, the Lord Jesus Christ is represented as a king, is right. And let's just start over here. And where did Matthew start anyway? Bethlehem is right. Down through here, Brother Mark wrote his book about the Lord Jesus Christ as a servant is right. And where does his book start? Bethlehem's right. Down through here, Brother Luke wrote his book about the Lord Jesus Christ as a man is right. And where's his book start? Bethlehem's correct. Over here now, Brother John, the book we're in right now, our favorite. Maybe. Brother John wrote his book about the Lord Jesus Christ as God is correct. Over and over and over again, he's telling us that Jesus is God. I missed it growing up. Where does he start his book? In the beginning, where else? In the bosom. No higher place than in the bosom. He left the highest place there was to come and save us. Born to die is what the song said. Born to die. Brother Dave, would you pray for us, please?
Yes, you're great. You take care of us. Yes, so often, Lord, we don't even know what's going on around us. You look at right. Loved ones. All of them are down and out. Just come down. Take care of us. All of them are doing the love. We do ask, Lord, that you forgive us of our sins, for we failed you every day. And pray, Father, that we might die to ourselves. Lord, live more for you. Pray, Father, that we already said this morning, we might bring our worship with us this morning and praise your sweet and holy name. Lord, we just ask that you be with Rick as he teaches us, Mark as he preaches this morning. Father, is pleasing to thee this morning, God. I pray that today might be the day, Lord, that we would realize that you never change. You're always the same. Father, if walk away from you, Lord, you're always there for us to come back. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that you forgive us when we fail, when we fall plumb out, when you're still there. You welcome us back and love us. Thank you, Lord, for that. Pray for our country this morning. I pray for our soldier boys on the foreign soil this morning. Ask God that you protect them. Take care of them. We'll give worship to these things some wisdom. Father, I pray, Lord, that they might, Lord, repent, get saved, please, Father. That's what they need, Father, is salvation. Worship to these things. Lord, we need it here in our little community as well. And I pray that this church will be a light for this community. Thank you. We love you for all that you've done.
Amen. Open your collection of reliable historical documents that were written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses and record supernatural events in fulfillment of specific prophecies and came from God instead of man. To chapter 11, John chapter 11. And now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. The title of the whole chapter, or most, it takes most of the chapter there to get in the raising of Lazarus from the dead. The disciples believed, his followers believe. You can be a disciple. There's only 12 apostles, let's say 13. But everyone didn't believe. The nation, Israel as a whole, rejected His works. As a whole, they rejected His words. As a whole, they rejected His person. Let's look at Deuteronomy 28, Brother Jeremy. I forgot to tell you that. Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2. Let's look at some things here. Verse 1, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice." Yeah. They rejected His voice. Unto the voice. Not a regular old voice. It's a voice of the Lord. Thy God, the big Lord, the Lord thy God, to observe and do all His commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. There's blessings all going to overtake you today if thou will hearken unto the voice. Unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Look at it again if you don't care in verse 15. "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." And then in verse 20, he goes ahead and connects the voice with himself, with his person. "The Lord shall send upon thee cursing." This is if you don't listen to the voice. "And vexation and rebuke in all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed." That's how long it's going to happen. "Until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me." Well, I thought it was the voice. He said, "It's me. It's me." 45, "Because thou hast hearkened not unto the voice." The voice appears to be important. Verse 62, "Thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God." The voice. They rejected the voice here in John 11. They rejected the Word. They rejected the works. They rejected the Savior as a whole. There's some followers. You're here this morning. Somersville's not. Nicholas County's not. But you're here. You didn't reject. And the Lord leaves public ministry and begins a private ministry to individuals in this chapter. You can see it in chapter 20. John 20. Verse 30, the last two verses, 30 and 31. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples." Notice that I missed that before. He's leaving a public ministry now. He's not going to try to prove to them anymore that He's the Messiah. He's already done that over and over and over again. He's going to talk to individuals now. "In the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name." It's not through the Baptist. It's not through being baptized. It's not through being good. You also see in chapter 11, verse 54, this leaving the public ministry and going to individuals. "Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went hence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with His disciples." A private ministry now. They won't believe. He said, "Okay, I'll leave you alone." The worst possible thing that can happen is if God leaves you alone.
Yeah, that is right.
In the classroom, the liberals have thrown out the miracles, but not because of any facts. Not because of facts. They just did it. Unbelief. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, He raises a 12-year-old girl from the dead and a young man, a briar, and Lazarus from the dead in this chapter. But these are not resurrected like Him. These must die again.
Right.
He's the first resurrected. And again, the church was born out of His side on the cross. It's in full bloom 3 days later with the thief being the first convert. And then the rest of us thieves get in. He talked to the dead like they were right there. He says, Lazarus, come forth. Just like they was right there. Verse chapter 11 again, John 11, 1 and 2. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus. That was the problem right there. He was sick of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Bethany's a famous place. It's a famous, hopefully in a good way. There were those we see that reject down through here. But part of Bethany, at least, is receptive to Jesus and His Word. Actually, we see it happen. He returns to Bethany here in chapter 12, verse 1. And then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. He did it here, proved he can do it for you. He'll do it for you. We can look at it in Bethany is 2 miles east of Jerusalem. Actually, what I learned was 1 7/8. Furlong, talks about a furlong down through here. A furlong, I think, is 7/8 of a mile. Or 1/8 of a mile, And it's 1 7/8 from Bethany to Jerusalem. And Bethany lays to the east. And from here is where Jesus entered Jerusalem the final time, what we call the triumphal entry. And it's from here he ascended the first time. Let's look at that in Luke 24. Verse 50 and 51. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And we also find Bethany in Matthew 21:17. And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Okay, back to chapter 11. The problem was he'd been sick. Though Lazarus is faithful, he's been sick. Sometimes faithful people get sick. It doesn't always mean you're backslid or that you did something wrong. Not always. It's serious. They buried him. The two fellows was at the funeral, and one of them asked the other, he said, was he sick? He said, was he sick? He died. Right. But hopefully we learn down through here that it's better to sit at the feet of Jesus than to serve. The best thing you can do is sit at the feet of Jesus. Verse 3, here's the purpose. Here's the purpose of the sickness, the purpose of the death, maybe. Therefore his sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Well, that really don't help us out a whole lot right there. He loves Mary. He loves Martha. He loves Lazarus. He loves Hitler. He loved Judas. He loves Becky, he loves Boyd, he loves the preacher, he loves RC, he loves Vicky, he loves Brother Dennis. He loves everybody. That's not going to help us out a whole lot, really, when it says, he whom thou lovest is sick. Verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. A lot of things go on for the glory of God. God made a difference in Israel and all those nations around them because He wanted those other nations to see that He's different. That God, there's one God, one Lord. My neighbors are watching to see that there's one God, one Lord. And he's who he said he was. Glory means brightness. My neighbors need to look at me and see that God's bright.
Yeah.
Bright. It's done for the glory of God, for the luster of God, for the splendor of God.
Yeah.
He is splendous.
Yeah.
He is lustrous. He is bright. Magnificent. They need to see the magnificence of God. Someone prayed. Brother Dave prayed that the neighbors would see it, that everybody would see the magnificence of God, that He's magnificent. The praise and adoration and glory to Him, to see that He's different from all these other little G gods that don't answer prayer. To see that He's famous. That God is a man of renown. He's not He's the only God. There's not another. He's a celebrity.
Yeah.
Others need to see He's a celebrity. He's the Rock of Ages. He's been around for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
He's been a celebrity for a long time. He has stood the test of time. That's what the people need to see around the grave of Lazarus. That He has stood the test of time. The bliss, the divine presence, that God is there. His preeminence, His excellence, His perfection. He is perfect, isn't He?
Yeah.
The plead, it's a pleading in prayer. And they say, hey, Lazarus is sick. They don't ask Him, Lord, if it's Your will, heal him. They don't do that. They just tell Him the problem and let Him decide. What's best? That's what they're doing right here. And the purpose is for the glory of God, for the love of Jesus. I need to wait on God in a crisis. I need to have patience. I need to wait on Him. Jesus loved Lazarus when he was sick. He loved Martha. He loved Judas. Love's good for the individual. That's good. Some of that benefits has fallen behind me. It's chasing after me.
Yeah.
Let's look at it. Already happened in 9:3. Let's look at it in 9:3. It's John 9:3. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. That's why a lot of stuff happens. That's why a lot of stuff happens. So the neighbors and those around us can see God. See the glory of God. Verse 5 and 6 back in John 11 now. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. There was no hurry. No hurry. Love's all the same. That's why he came. One reason he came and took on a body is so he could be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. He knew what Mary was feeling and what Martha was feeling. He knew what they were going through. That's one reason he came. Verse 7. Then after that saith he to the disciples, let us go into Judea. And his disciples saying to him, Master, are you sure? The Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again. Are you sure about that? Hey, there's going to be some peril if we go down there. They're liable to stone us. Did we hear you right? Are you sure? What about fear?
Yeah.
What about fear? Verse 9, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him. The counsel is, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and go. There's a separation at the grave between the body and the spirit. He said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Verse 10 is assuring them that his hour has not yet come. Don't worry about it. Come on, let's go. Verse 11. These things said he. After that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. It's good to know that he's still our friend.
Yeah.
Death doesn't change anything. The Lord's still our friend. We're still in the family. We're still going home. Nothing changed. Nothing changed. It's like going through a door. Just like passing on through. Lazarus, our friend. Our friend. Well, the death of the body is really not that important. It appears like. Winston Churchill planned his own funeral. He had one bugler play the taps. The day is over here. There was a pause, and another bugler played reveille. Said, it's morning over there. It's wake-up time. It's good morning in heaven. But guess what? They misunderstood just like we do. Just like we do. Verse 12. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Oh, they're just like Brother Rick. So dumb. D-U-M-M-M. Matthew 9. Matthew 9, 24 and 25. He said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. No one stayed dead in his presence. Death couldn't stay in his presence. Matthew 16. Starting in verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up. Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up. How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And then in John 4, we see the same thing where I really need to forget what I think I know. I just need to forget about it and listen and pay attention. John chapter 4, verse 31, we see another example of us followers being confused. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. His work. But here they are, back John 11 now, acting just like Brother Rick, just been dumbing around. Verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Again, no one remained dead in his presence. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. 16. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. That wasn't what's going to happen right here. And Thomas, like me, puts his foot in his mouth. Now, you might note that fellow disciples, this is the only time the word's used in the Bible. It's the only mention. And also that Didymus means twin. And Thomas is, again, like me, double-minded. One half of me wants to go this way, the other half this way, and that's the way Thomas was. 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now, Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. Again, that's 1/8 of a mile, and it looks like Bethany's 1 7/8 of a mile from Jerusalem. 19 is the practice. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother, just like our funerals. We'll gather around to comfort. People aren't really good at it. The Lord's the only one. But the people here are the Jews, and the prominence is that there's many. Many. Verse 20. Well, Lazarus was a popular man and a good man, looks like. Verse 20. A good family even. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. So here's the pursuit, the singular pursuit. 21, the protest. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But nevertheless, some praise here in 22. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Here's the praise from Martha. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Maybe she knew this verse. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Popular, famous verse. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Martha had hope. It was in him. I know that if thou wilt ask God, well, guess what? He is God. He's right there, and he is God. But again, he has to explain it to us. He says, I am the resurrection. Job 19, Job got into a little bit of this. Job 19:23. Oh, that my words were now written. Well, guess what they are? That voice we was reading about a while ago. Oh, that they were printed in a book. Well, guess what they are? We're not in the same shape Job was. We got a Bible. We got a Bible. That they were graven with an iron pen and laid in rock forever. Hallelujah on the forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He believed in the resurrection, and Martha believed in the resurrection. She needs to connect it to Jesus, though, is what she needs to do. John 11:23-24. Here's the promises. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She's a little bit perplexed. I don't need to look for an event. I need to look for a person. Right. Matter of fact, the person. Right. I need to be looking for Jesus. The rapture gets muddied up sometimes about what all is going to happen. I need to look for Him, for my Savior, for the one that lives inside me. That's the Spirit of Jesus that moved inside is going to be like a magnet and go to like material when He comes back, and we're going up. Right. We're going up. We're going out.
Yeah.
We're going out. I'm watching for the person. 25, John 11:25. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Here's the proclamation, the profession, the promise. Though he were dead, the power that whosoever shall never die. That's the protection. He didn't need any help. He is the resurrection. Let's look at it in Hebrews 1 again, one of my favorites. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, capital S Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, by the voice, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. By Himself, He didn't need any help. He is the resurrection. He is the life. He's everything. He's everything. Let's look at Ephesians 2:1. At the grave, the spirit and the body separate. Well, before the grave, really. Whenever you pass, you might not get to the grave for a day or two. Ephesians 2:1, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. It's the Spirit that quickens. The Spirit giveth life. Revelation 1:18. I am. That's what He's just got through telling. I am He that liveth and was dead. I used to be dead. I'm not dead anymore. You're not dealing with the ordinary. This is the God that rose from the dead, that death cannot hold. Death, hell, or the grave cannot hold. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. He's sovereign. It's what He is. He do what He wants to. He does it when He wants to, what He wants to. John 11, 26 and 27. Whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. Yeah. Believest thou this? And she saith unto Him, Lord, I believe that Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Do you believe it this morning? Do you believe it? Life begins the moment I accept Christ. I just begun to live. I just begun to live. When God's amazing grace come in, I just begun to live. 28 P.S. on that, Martha. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master's come and call us for thee. It was a personal invitation. 29, as soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto Him. The coming was fervent. She was falling. She's getting ready to fall at His feet. Now Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met Him. And the Jews which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. But when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hast been here, my brother had not died. She didn't go to the sepulcher. She went to the Savior. She went to the Savior. We see the suffering of Christ in 33. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. 34, the seeking. And they said, where have you laid Him? And they said unto Him, Lord, come and see. Now He knew. He knew where He was. Just like when the Lord said, Adam, where art thou? He knew. He knew. We needed to say it. 35, Jesus wept. The sobbing. Angels don't cry. He's 100% man and 100% God. Not half man, not half God. He's 100% God and 100% man. And He's going to call Him back. He's getting ready to call Lazarus back. But remember this, sometimes I don't pray right. He's calling Him back to a world of sorrow, a world of sin, a world of suffering and anguish and pain. sometimes, most of the time, I don't know how to pray or what to pray.
Yeah.
I need to tell him, hey, Lazarus is sick.
Yeah.
Leave it alone. Luke 19:41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. I'm talking about he came to feel our infirmities.
Right.
Hebrews 5:7. 100% man. We have not a Savior which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. Hebrews 5:7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down in Jesus' name. Amen.